You know what time it is. Come on. Weekend. Warrior. Podcast. Let me hear you. Come on. Weekend. Warrior. Podcast. Weekend Warrior Pod. Let's go.
No hot takes. No garbage. Just real talk.
Weekend Warrior Pod. Let's go.
No fake takes. No first takes. Just real talk.
Weekend Warrior Pod. Let's go.
School's out for summer. School's out forever. Well, at least till August. If you're listening to this, when you're listening to this, most people will be out of school, and every teacher, including myself, will be dancing a jig down the hallway. Thank goodness we have the summers off. We're ready. Anyways, this is the Weekend Warrior Podcast presented by WTP Sports. I am your host, as always, Pat Lane. Tonight is episode 58. That makes it the Marty Moore episode, the Pete Brock episode, and the Derek Thomas episode. Rest in peace, Derek Thomas. On tonight's show, we have Dante Turow from WTP. You probably know him from his Twitter handle, at Dante on Deck. Great guy to follow on Twitter, and he is kind of a Celtics expert, so we got him on talking the draft, which, of course, if you're listening to on Thursday, is happening tonight. If you listen to it on Friday, well, it happened yesterday, so we're going to kind of give you predictions. You could see if we're right or not, I guess. But I also have the three-minute drill and this week in sports history as well after the interview with Dante. Of course, I just want to remind you about Beard Brand. Beard Brand is a premium men's grooming company with products not only for your beard, but also for your hair and body. Do yourself a favor and head over to beardbrand.com and take care of yourself. Without further ado, let's get into that interview with Dante. All right, so we're going to welcome to the show Dante Turow. He works for WTP Sports. He also, you probably follow him on Twitter, at Dante on Deck. He is a Celtics expert. So welcome on to the show, Dante. We're going to talk a little bit about the draft tonight and kind of Celtics and whatnot. Welcome on to the show.
Thank you for having me, Pat.
Absolutely. This is try number two. For those of you out there that didn't know, we recorded the whole thing a few weeks ago, and I went to go save it, and it crashed, and so we lost the whole damn thing.
Unfortunate.
Yep.
That was a good interview too. That was really good what we had.
It was good. It was really good. So we're gonna mix it up
this time.
Yeah, we're gonna mix it up a little bit this time because last time we talked a little bit more about the season, and now we're gonna talk a little bit more about the draft. We might touch on the season a little bit and kind of the Celtics' future and whatnot, but we'll focus mostly on the draft and what the offseason is gonna bring. So, I guess first thing, you know, kind of on everyone's mind right now, do you want Kawhi Leonard on the Celtics next year?
You know, when the news first came out that Kawhi wanted out, let me kind of go back. Like, during the regular season, I wouldn't have traded for him because during the regular season, like, we heard rumors that he might want out, but nothing was confirmed. Like, it was just speculation at that point. And at that point, like, his value was so much higher than it is now. But when the news came out that he wanted out, I mean, when you hear that your star player wants out, like, his value drops. So when I saw that, I was like, okay, maybe he can be on the table for a fair offer. So when I heard that, I started thinking I would always stuck by not wanting to trade Jalen or Jason. But if someone like Kawhi is on the market, I think giving up someone like Jalen should at least be a consideration. But then you hear news that Kawhi and Greg Popovich met, and Kawhi is basically making it known that he's going to go to LA next offseason. So at this point, I mean, in my eyes, his value is just plummeted. Like, I don't even think I would want to make an offer for him at this point, especially if he's a 1 year. I mean, if you're Danny Ainge, maybe you can think, like, when we traded for Kevin Garnett, he said he wasn't going to resign. But I mean, look what happened. We won, he came back. So, I mean, you can maybe make that risk. But, I mean, we're talking about trading away someone like Jaylen Brown. And we saw how good he is in the playoffs and how good he can be as a top guy on our team. So, I mean, it's just it would be a huge gamble. And I don't think they'll ultimately do it.
Right. I mean, the other problem, the real issue, I think, is what you have to give up for him. Mm-hmm. Because you're over the salary cap, you have to make the money almost be
exactly. Exactly. And so, yeah. So it's not like you're just giving up Jalen. Like, you'd have to trade Jalen, Rozier, Morris, other bench guys, and then the picks. I mean, to make it work at that point, especially if it's a 1 year, if he's that committed to going back to LA, I mean, it's just not worth it.
Right. I mean, basically, you know, because I actually wrote an article about this earlier in the week, and I just looked at the numbers. If it were Kyrie, if you were trading Kyrie, you could do a straight swap for swap. And we'll get into that in a minute. But you could do a straight swap for swap with Kyrie because the money's just about even. If you didn't want to trade Kyrie, you would basically trade everybody on the roster except for Kyrie, Hayward, Horford, and Tatum. It's basically those four and everybody else. Now, if they have a trade exception, which I feel like they had one.
I think they had one, but I'm pretty sure they used that on I think they used that on Greg Monroe or something like that. I mean, they used some exception on Monroe. I'm not sure. I think it was the disabled exception for Hayward. Maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I feel like there'd be more talk if they actually had that. I feel like there'd be more talk.
I think they had one last summer, but I don't know if they do this year.
Because to me, I look at it and say, if we could somehow make Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier and say your first round pick next year, your first round pick this year, or the Clippers pick that we have, you know, if you could make that work, I'd be willing to give it a shot. And I know you're giving up Jaylen Brown, and I know that Jaylen Brown is a great, you know, could be a great player, but you know Kawhi is a great player. Yes. And you know Kawhi is going to have to play great this year if he wants a max contract from L.A. And so you say, okay, maybe he goes to L.A. But if he comes here and we have Kyrie, Hayward, Leonard, Tatum, and Horford.
We're on the same level as Golden State.
Right.
There's any question at that point.
Right. And then so if it's that situation, then you look at it and say, okay, well – how does LA even get him back? And why would he want to leave that situation to go to LA? How could LA's situation possibly be better than that starting five? And so that's really
– I know. I don't – like I said, when that news came out, I just thought like his value. Like I don't know any team that would want to trade any good asset for a one-year rental at that point. It's just crazy. Like before all that came out, there was an offer of Jaylen Brown, Rozier, the Kings pick, and even the Clippers and Memphis pick for Kawhi, I would take that without hearing what I heard before that, because then I would assume, I would think, I mean, we'll talk about this with Kyrie too. I mean, I think that's a good enough situation to want to resign. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't understand why you'd want to leave something like that, but I don't know. It's Kawhi. I mean, he's a strange guy, kind of like Kyrie. Kawhi.
It's interesting with him because it just seems like he really wants to push and build his brand more than anything else.
Yeah, it's strange because he literally has the keys in San Antonio. Right. So it's just a very weird situation. It's not like he's in Kyrie where he's in a toxic environment. Like he's not competing with anyone else for the spot. Like LaMarcus Aldridge is there, but he's not. It's Kawhi's team. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know.
I think the real issue is that, you know, I was talking to someone about this the other day. If Kawhi Leonard started talking right now, I would have no idea I have no idea what his voice sounds like. I don't know what – now I know what his face looks like. Obviously, I know what it looks like. But I don't know what his voice sounds like. Yeah, I have no clue.
He's so quiet. It's like,
right. And so it's one of those things where he wants to build his brand, right? And you look at it and say, well, Kyrie's got shoes. Paul George has shoes. Obviously, LeBron's got shoes. Like all these great players, Steph Curry, even like all these great players have shoes, and they have all these deals, and they got all these different things. They're doing commercials, and they're doing this, and he doesn't have any of that. And so he wants a piece of that. And so I'm assuming he thinks getting to LA will give him a piece of that. That's what I would imagine.
But then you think too, like I don't with the money and stuff. I mean, he's walking away from so much. If he stayed in San Antonio and re-signed, got the Supermax, it's not like you're walking away from like $10 million. Like you're walking away from $40 to $50 million. Like that's a lot of money.
Here's the thing, right? And this is the other part of it. I think you look at it and the Lakers look at it, and I bet you, I'll bet you anything that Kawhi is talking to LeBron.
Oh,
LeBron
absolutely.
Is saying, I'm going to LA. You come to LA with me, and we'll start a new dynasty there. and we'll try to get Paul George involved too. And now all of a sudden you get Kawhi, yeah, LeBron, and Paul George.
I agree.
I think that's what's gonna happen. Of those other guys that are there, and you know, and then all of a sudden now it's like there's the team. You know what I mean? And so because it stinks for everyone else, because it, let's say he were traded to the Celtics. Let's just say he were traded to the Celtics. The Lakers acquire LeBron and Paul George. I don't know if they have the money next offseason to offer him a max contract, even if he wanted to go there. And so that, you know, so it's like, it's one of those things. And for San Antonio, it sucks because LA's got nothing to trade him. They got nothing to give
him. No,
they have really like don't. Luol Deng, and that's it. You know, and so that's one of those things where it's like,
that's the biggest problem for Lakers. They can't really do anything because of that contract. That's holding them back from doing so much.
I think what's going to happen is that, and I know they just drafted Lonzo, but I think LeBron is not going to want Lonzo.
If LeBron goes to LA, which I think he is, he's not playing with Lonzo.
Right.
The type of player LeBron is, he's not going to want to get caught up in LeVar Ball and his nonsense.
Right. Exactly. And so the one thing I was looking at, and it was Lonzo and Channing Frye. Now Channing Frye has an expired contract, but they could sign and trade Channing Frye with Lonzo Ball, and they would have to throw in like another bench player or something like that. But you know, like they could do Lonzo, Channing Frye, their first, you know, a first round pick or two, and like a bench guy. And that would be enough to get Kawhi money wise.
Yeah, but I don't think San Antonio
wants Lonzo. That's not value from San Antonio.
No, not honestly. Like I hate to say it about Lonzo, but I just don't think he really has that much value in this league. But just with his dad and everything, I just don't think like Lonzo Ball. Yeah. Like he's a number two overall pick. I mean, maybe last year if it was you were dangling the number two pick, it's Lonzo Ball isn't. In my eyes, I mean, you could pack him with Ingram, Kuzma. Maybe you get something going, but Lonzo Ball alone isn't going to get you anywhere.
No, I agree. I do agree. And so it's interesting for San Antonio because the Packers are going to get sucks from LA unless you're going to get a team like Boston. And I think the best place for him to go is Philly. I really do. Philly's got the pieces to do it. And in order to do it, they'd probably have to trade Fultz. Mm-hmm. And I know they're going to get – that would mean giving up on Fultz 1 year in. He was the number one pick. I get all that. But if you can get him there and you have Covington, you have Simmons, and you have Embiid, and then you put Kawhi on that team, you can try to convince Kawhi to stay. And I think if you're them, that isn't a bad idea to make a deal like that. And, unless they like Covington, you know, unless they like Fultz better than Covington, they trade Covington instead. His number is pretty close to Kawhi, so they could swap those two up pretty easily. But to me, I think they like Covington better, so I think they want to keep Covington. And now it's like those are your big four pieces, you know, and you can try to hold on to Kawhi because we have just as much star power as LA does, and, you know, you're part of the whatever. You know, like that's I think you can try to spin it to say – we might be able to convince him to stay, whereas most places can't. You know, unless it's like Philly or Boston, where's he going to – like if they trade him to Phoenix, like where's he going to stay in Phoenix? Like, you know, it's just
– that's why a lot of these top teams aren't shopping their picks. Like, I mean, you think Sacramento wouldn't trade the number two pick for Kawhi Leonard? If Kawhi Leonard's available, hell yeah, I would. But if he's not going to resign, then – I'm not wasting a good 8 years of Marvin Bagley for 1 year of Kawhi. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Exactly. I agree. So let's get into Kyrie a little bit because we talked a little bit about you could swap Kyrie for Kawhi. I think that would be insane by the Celtics.
Yeah, that it just doesn't make sense. I mean, you can make the argument like Kawhi is a better overall player than Kyrie, but then you look at it. I mean, just because he's a better player doesn't mean it necessarily fits the team. Sure, Kawhi would be probably the best player Brad Stevens has ever gotten to coach, but I mean, then you have no point guard. You know, I mean, like Kyrie Irving is he's a lock for top three point guard in the NBA. I think he's the second best behind Curry. But the point is, you can't really get much better at that position than Kyrie. I mean, granted, Kawhi is a top three player when healthy, but
So you're saying
you already have Brown, Tatum, Hayward, Morris. Like you have all these forwards already. Like, yeah, Kawhi stands out, but it just doesn't, for what our scheme is and like what we have, it just doesn't make sense.
Right. So you're saying Kyrie, is better than Westbrook?
Yes, I would say so. As far as being a skillful basketball player and not just playing the position the right way and knowing, like having a high basketball IQ, I think the two best would be Curry. I think Curry, Kyrie, and CP3 are the top 3-point guards. But that's a completely different thing.
Right. Yeah. No. I understand that. I do think Westbrook is severely overrated.
But yeah, that's not there, but that's another conversation.
Yeah, yeah. So now the Kyrie Kawhi thing, I think, doesn't make sense. I think first of all, I guess the real question is, do you think Kyrie signs a long term extension with the Celtics next offseason?
Well, I think Kyrie is going to be in Boston in 2019. I don't think this is going to be his last year in Boston. I think he's either going to do what players like LeBron and KD have done, where you can do the one-in-one option, where you can sign for 1 year and then do the player option the second year and then try to make more money the offseason or whatever.
Right.
Or he signs the extension. Kind of like how we said with Kawhi earlier. Like, Kyrie, like, keeps to himself. Like, he does day by day. Like, that's how he lives his life. Like, he doesn't get caught up in the future. He thinks about what's going on, what he can do today. He's not worried about any extension. And when he says that it doesn't make sense for him to sign an extension right now, he's 125% correct. I mean, he'd lose out on $80 million. So yeah. I just hate when all these news outlets, media outlets, like kind of try to twist his words into meaning something that he's just – they're just turning into something completely different than what
he is. And that's really the big thing, is that if for someone that's uninformed – they look at that and they say, well, he doesn't want to sign an extension now. Like, you know, and I would say that it actually benefits the Celtics that it's not in his best interest to sign an extension this year, because, you know, that knee issue is not something that happened last year. That knee issue is from years ago. And so we have now a year to make sure he's right. And if he's not, we can say, hey, Kyrie, love you, guy, really mean it, but we can't give you the max. We just can't do that. And no one's going to give you the max, because you're going to look at it and say, how is anyone going to give you the max when you can't finish a full season? You know what I mean? So that's the big thing for me.
I mean, it kind of works for both sides that they didn't do the extension, because one, Kyrie has the chance of making more money, and two, Boston can get a year of Kyrie and see if he can stay healthy a whole year.
Right, right. No, it's very true. And I mean, I think – the other part of it for me, and the reason why I think Kyrie stays, and like you say, it could be just 2019, but if he were to leave next offseason, so for people that don't understand, and if you haven't looked at the contract, the way it works is that he's making $20 million this year. He's slated to make $21 million next year. It doesn't make any sense for him to play under that contract. He has a player option for next year. So he's going to opt out. That's going to happen. Because if he decides to leave, it's 4 for $139. So you're talking about over $30 million if he leaves. Yeah. If he stays, it's 5 for $188. And so, you know, for him, it's just like it's so much more money. He's not going to leave that much money on the table. So he's going to opt out next year. But it's still in his best interest to stay, because it's $50 million more if he gets the max here than if he gets the max anywhere else. And so, you know, the NBA is different than you know, say, football, because in football, someone can make a ridiculous offer. The Patriots offered $12 million to Nate Solder this year, which was a great contract extension for a left tackle. And then the Giants made him the highest paid offensive lineman in the history of the NFL. Like, it was just like, what are you going to do? Like, you can't match that. In the NBA, it doesn't work. You can't do that. It's like, okay, this is the team you're on. That's the money you can get from them. You're not on this team, that's the money you can get from them, and that's the most you can possibly get. And so if you're not willing to go to the max, well, then fine. But if you're willing to go to the max, it's capped. It's not like another team come in and say, well, we'll pay you, you know, 188 too. Like, no, it doesn't work that way. You can't give them that contract. And so it's more advantageous for him.
It also depends on, like, if you win awards too, like if you make an all-NBA team, like, you make more money. I think that was one of the things. I forgot – I think it was Paul George or Hayward. It was, I think one of them may have missed out on huge extension. I think it was Hayward. He may have missed out on some team or something, and then he got a huge, like, he wouldn't have made as much, so that kind of what drove him to leave. That it may have been someone else, but yeah.
No, I think you're right. I think it was
Hayward or George. I'm not sure, but
right.
That's a huge deciding factor. I mean, today, I mean, if you can make that much money in the NBA, I mean, it's tough to turn it down, like, especially like for someone like for Terry Rozier, for example, like next offseason, like, he's going to be chasing the money because, like, for someone like him, like, his value is so high. And if he can get the chance to make, like, $20 million a year, like, sure, you can be on the Boston Celtics and win rings. But if you can make $20 million a year at the age of 23, like, you're going to probably want to take the money. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know. You know, in today's NBA, you don't have a lot of guys that stay around the franchise forever. Like, they don't take discounts anymore. Like, it's just, it's different now.
Right, I agree.
Everyone wants the money.
Well, let's talk about Rozier a second, because the draft is obviously – we're recording this Wednesday night, so the draft is Thursday night. So that could be tonight if you're listening on Thursday. It could have been yesterday if you're listening on Friday. It could have been last week if you're listening next week. But the point is that the draft for us right now is tomorrow. And there's been some rumors about the Celtics getting in the top 10, and people have kind of kicked around the idea, is it possible, is it not possible? I think it's very possible, in my opinion, they can get into the top 10 without giving up Jalen or Jason. They're not going to trade Jason Tatum. That's not going to happen.
No, he's untouchable. He's untouchable.
And so, you know, maybe do you look at Jalen Brown and say, okay, maybe you could trade Jalen Brown. I don't think they would do that for a top 10 pick unless the guy they love fell and that was the only way they could get him and they really wanted him. I still wouldn't love it, but if that's – I mean, I guess I trust Danny enough to do that. But to me – Rozier is the interesting one because I know his contract runs out, but let's say a team like Orlando, who's drafting number 6, they need a point guard. Yep. And they could look at Rozier and say, that guy is the point guard that we want as our starting point guard for the future. So you trade for him now, along with a few other first-round picks, you know, whether it be the Sacramento pick or the Memphis pick or the Clippers pick, whatever it is. You know, and it would probably have to be some sort of combination, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, the Celtics pick this year, maybe the Sacramento pick, maybe the Memphis, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
along with Rozier. And basically, the Magic are saying, okay, we know Rozier is going to leave after next year, but he's a restricted free agent. We want him anyways. So we're willing to pretty much match what anybody
makes. Yeah, and they have the money. They have the money to do it.
And they have the money to do it. And so they're basically ensuring that they get the guy they want. If you're gonna try to sign this guy anyways, well, what the hell? Now he's on your team. Now you know you get to keep him. Because even if someone gives him a crazy contract, you're willing to match it because you're willing to go and try to push Boston out of the equation. So, you know what I mean? So it could work out in the Celtics' benefit. Where it's like, yeah, I mean, Rozier's got an inspiring contract. However, another team may look at that and say, well, we want him anyways. Now it's just kind of doing it a year early.
Yeah. I think if the Celtics make a – I think the Celtics trade to the top 10, which I think is likely. I think there's a good chance. Boston definitely has the assets to do so. If they make a trade to the top 10, I can't see the pick being any higher than 5. So in that case, I don't think Jalen Brown would be included in any trade. I think what the trade would be is Terry Rozier. And I think Terry Rozier makes the most sense, like you said, because he'll be a restricted free agent. He's going to want a lot of money. So you trade him, and you're essentially trading away a $20 million contract, if you think about it.
Right.
So you trade that away, and then you get a young guy who's going to have his rookie contract on the books for 4 years. So that also gives you room to re-sign Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum when the time comes. Mm-hmm. So it's not just you're looking at it like next year. Like if we bring Terry Rozier back next year, like we'll be loaded. But if we trade him for a guy this year who I'm assuming – I think there's a couple guys that Danny Ainge loves this year. I think they're in the top 10. I don't think you can go wrong with a pick. I just think there's just so much talent in this draft. But I think – If they get someone like Mo Bamba, like he'll have an immediate impact. So it's not like we're trading away Terry Rozier for no one. That won't help us next year. Like we'll trade for someone there, and you never know. Like some guys can slip. Like you've heard of Luka Doncic. If he doesn't go 2 to Sacramento, he could slip all the way down to 5. if he slips to five, Dallas might want him, but let's say Boston wants him that bad, they try to slip up for him. Maybe in that case, if they really want Doncic, they trade someone like Brown. But like Jaren Jackson at six, for example, like he could go three. Jaren Jackson, I think, is going to be a solid starter for a good portion of his career. So if someone he slips to six, I mean, if you have the assets to trade up and get that, I mean, I don't think you should pass on that.
Right. Well, and here's the other part of it, which is interesting for the Celtics. The Celtics, at least with their young guys, Kyrie, Brown, Hayward, Tatum, they're all guards and forwards, right? They don't have any big guys. This draft is loaded with 6'11", 7'7", 2. That's what it's loaded with. And so it makes sense to go after a guy this year. Sacramento may have maybe a great pick next year, but how loaded is that draft? How good are the players going to be coming out of the draft?
So you might
have number two or three, but it's like, well, the players as good next year as they will be even at six this year.
Yeah, I think this year, I think you have five, six, maybe even seven guys that have all-star potential and a handful of those guys superstar potential. Like Mo Bamba, Jaren Jackson, Wendell Carter, like those are solid big men that would jump right in and help right away with Boston. Like Wendell Carter has a very high basketball IQ. He kind of has comparisons to Al Horford, so you can plug him in behind him, learn from him. Jaren Jackson, 6'11", the dude's huge and like so versatile, and he's great on defense. Like he would plug in just great. And Mo Bamba, I think he is just going to be a stud. I love Mo Bamba. I would do anything for him to be on the Celtics. Honestly. So it's like there are a few guys, like if one of those guys is there at six, I think Danny Ainge is going to be very aggressive in getting that pick.
Yeah. And the other part of it too is that, I mean, it's great having picks. I mean, having picks is fantastic. But at the end of the day, what you're trying to do is build a team.
We have so many picks.
Right, right.
We can get rid of some of them.
Exactly. I mean, you're rebuilding and you're trying to build the championship. And if you feel like your rebuild, not is over, but if you feel like your rebuild, you're building to the point where all of a sudden now you are a finals championship contender, you have to make that move, even if it makes you give up a few of those picks, because that's the whole point. That's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's great in the future, but who the heck knows, you know? So to me, that makes sense. Now, I guess the question is, will Orlando be willing to do it, right? Does Orlando look at Rozier and, you know, two or three first-round picks? You know, again, the Celtics pick this year is basically useless at 27. I mean, it's like I know a lot of people talking about Grayson Allen, and Grayson Allen's a good player, but he's a psycho and trips everyone and whatever. But, like, I understand he has good basketball skills, but it's 27. Like, realistically, it's not – you know, that player's not going to be an impact guy this year. It's possible. I mean, it's happened, but like realistically, it's probably not going to be the case. And you know, same thing with like the, you know, the Clippers pick worries me, and even the Sacramento pick. I think Sacramento has some pieces where they look like they could be a top five again, but they could be a top 10 or a top 15. Like, you know, who knows? So I think it's never a bad idea to kind of push it another year out for the Celtics, at least. Like, okay, trade another guy. And, you know, we don't have to worry about next year because we got to pick this year. So if you know if it's the sure thing, go for it. Otherwise, like, it is what it is. You know what I mean?
No, we have four first-round picks next year. And for a team that's going to be in finals contention, I think the smart thing would do is try to get rid of some of those picks for either a really good pick or another player.
Right.
Because, I mean, you don't need four first-round picks. I mean, like, we're not going to have four rookies on our team in 2 years. If you're a finals contender, you're not going to have that many rookies.
No, you know what I mean? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It just doesn't make sense, yeah.
Those guys in the league, it's just stupid.
Like, we got those picks for a reason.
Right,
and
exactly.
And I think this is the time that if we want to use them, if we want to get a solid player that we can add to the Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum core, like that age core, now is your time. This is the draft to do it, not next year. There could be some good guys next year. I mean, I don't really know much about it,
But this year's draft, there are some guys that are going to be special.
Right, right. Now, let me ask you a question. So we talked a little bit about some of the prospects. Obviously, some of the big names, you know, Mo Bamba and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Michael Porter Jr. and, you know, even Doncic. Like, but is there a guy that's, I don't want to say he's flying under the radar, but a guy who is like a little bit under the radar, but is probably going to go top 10 to 15 who mm-hmm. could be a superstar?
Yeah, I'm going to go, I wouldn't say superstar, but I think Wendell Carter can be a solid NBA player for the entirety of his career. I just think the way he plays, his height, I just think he has potential to be a really, really good starter in this. Maybe not a superstar, like you said, right. but maybe like one of those guys that you can consider an all-star every, like when he hits his prime, like you consider he can be an all-star. Maybe he can be an all-star, not a superstar, but he will be a really good NBA player. I think he's very underrated.
Okay. It's interesting because a lot of people, like you said, are comparing him to Horford. And I think, you know, Horford never gets the attention or the accolades that other guys get. And I think that's just the way he plays the game. But we see how important he is to a team like the Celtics when he's used correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's all they talk about. It's all the players want to talk about is, you know, is Al this and Al that. It's like, you know, if he's used correctly, he can be part of, you know, a bigger picture, you know? And so I think you're right there. Like, it's a good pick because, you know, he may not be that superstar guy. And you know, in that situation, I don't think Danny Ainge has given up a ton to go get him because he's not going to be a franchise altering player,
mm-hmm.
but he could be a guy who, like Horford, is instrumental in helping guys kind of get to that next level and doing things off the stat sheet. You know, I mean, Duncan was great at that. Duncan was just such an unbelievable player as well that, you know, his talent kind of went above and beyond anything that Horford's ever done. But, like, he was that same type of guy where he did a lot of stuff outside the stat sheet as well that you didn't see. And it was rare for, you know, someone that good to be doing it. But even Horford is an all-star player. And guys like that typically don't kind of do those dirty things that, you know, that that Horford and Duncan did. And yeah. so mm-hmm. to me, it's just that's the type of guy you want on your team.
Yeah, and I mean, plus he can shoot too. I mean, with any big right. man, I mean, that's a plus. And I, like you said, like Al Horford, like he just worked so well in Boston. It's about a system. Like if you fit the system and you are used the right way, I mean, look what Brad Stevens did with Isaiah Thomas. I know we're comparing Isaiah and Wendell Carter. But, like, right. Isaiah Thomas went from being a sixth man to a top five MVP candidate. So it's like you can plug someone into a system where I think you can plug in Wendell Carter into the Celtics system, and he could find a huge amount of success, whether it's off the bench now next year or as a starter when Al Horford eventually starts to regress and then, you know, guys like Jalen, Jason, and then they start to take over the team. Right. And then he'll kind of take over that starting role as center. But I think, I don't know, I just like the way he plays. He's really good height. He could shoot good on defense. He had a lot of potential. I don't know. I also think the Celtics, the one thing I've always wanted the Celtics to have for the longest time is a big man that can just run the floor, rebound, and block. That's right. all I asked for. I mean, Al Horford is great at doing what he does, but just – I don't know.
Yeah,
I just always think the Celtics have needed someone like that. And I think right. this, like I said, there are a couple guys that could fill that role this year.
Right. So I mean, Bamba would be unbelievable.
Bamba
would
be the ideal pick. I think Bamba would be the best ideal. Yes. Absolutely.
Right. I mean, Jackson has like 7'5" wingspan. Yeah. Bamba's got 7'10" wingspan.
And Bamba had a faster time than Westbrook. Like, that's insane.
That's ridiculous. Dude,
it's insane. For a 7'1" center, oh my gosh.
His standing reach, I'm just looking at it now. His standing reach is 9 feet, seven and a half inches.
He barely has to jump to
like
dunk the
basketball. Like, he literally just, like, comes off
no,
the
No, it's ridiculous. He stands on
his tiptoes
stupid.
And dunk the ball.
That's absolutely
I mean, that's just
stupid.
Ridiculous. So, I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, a guy like that on a team like the Celtics have would be unbelievable. Now, does Mobamba fall to six? Probably not.
No. Yeah, I think he would. I think,
you know,
he would cap at five. I think if he's there for Dallas, I think Dallas would probably take him.
Right.
If the guys that they would want are gone, of course.
Right. And what sucks is that what's interesting is that Isaiah Thomas kind of gets the revenge a little bit on the Celtics because after the Isaiah Thomas trade, after the Lakers acquired Isaiah Thomas, you know, they kind of started playing a little bit better. And anywhere in that 2-6 range, the Celtics would have ended up with that pick.
I know.
And so, you know, and so Isaiah Thomas plays them kind of out of that 2-6 range and they end up at 10. And obviously Philly ends up with the number 10 pick. Even if the Celtics had ended up with that 10th pick, they would have enough assets to go up and get someone, absolutely. I think.
Yeah,
you know, and they absolutely. Just don't – with 27, it just doesn't equate. But at least at 10, you could say you're still getting a legit guy and we're going to give you two more first-round picks that could both blow through lottery picks. How can you turn that down? You know what I mean? So
I think it's one another, of those things. You know? Yeah, I think another team that might make some noise maybe is Memphis. But I don't know if the Celtics would get involved with that only because if the Memphis is – I think if they trade their pick, they want to get rid of Parsons' contract too. And it just – that wouldn't work for Boston taking on that contract.
Right.
I would think – I mean, Grizzlies kind of like the – it's kind of like the Magic. I think it would be a great, like, trade idea. I think them getting Rozier, a young point guard, coming behind Conley for now, maybe deciding what you want to do with him. But taking that contract back would obviously hurt a chance of that trade happening.
Right.
But maybe they can – I mean, if we want to talk trades, I mean, anyone two down can make a trade in this draft. So I think this year is going to be crazy. I think there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be interested in moving up and down depending on where guys go. I mean, like Michael Porter, he can go anywhere from 2 to freaking 9. You know what I mean? It's like it's so – and same with Doncic. Like it's just – it's going to be a very weird draft. I'm very – very excited to see what happens. Excited.
That'll be fun. It'll be fun, that's for sure. So I'm enjoying. I'll be looking forward to it. You know, the last night of the last school night, actually, the year for me, Friday's my last day of school. So I'm like,
get these
kids out of my dang classroom. And it'll be the last school night of the year. So I'll be happy about that. But yeah, it should be fun. It should be fun to watch. So before we let you go, where can people find you online and, you know, interact with you and whatnot?
Yeah, on Twitter, you can follow me at Dante on Deck. There I have a link to my blog. And I cover the Celtics, so I'm trying to keep up to date with everything going on with the draft and everything. So for all Celtics news and all that stuff, make sure to follow me.
For sure. Yeah, no, great follow. And again, if you're not following Dante, like, I don't know what the hell you're doing. So now you had your avatar used to be Rocky from Rocky IV.
Yeah,
You changed it?
So I think that's actually very funny you asked because I in my head I kind of played out like if someone ever asked me that, like how I'd answer. So I kind of have
an
answer set up. So when I first made my blog and stuff, like my favorite movies are Rocky. Like, I just love Rocky. So I just saw some sports scene. I thought, oh, Rocky throwing his fist up at the flag. Like, that's awesome. So I just kind of put that as my picture. And I wasn't planning on doing a face reveal for a while, like until maybe I was even out of school, like this became like my profession.
Right.
But my account just kind of just – it grew so quick and stuff. And in my head, I was like, I don't want people to think like I'm just a fan account because like – that I'm not trying to be a fan account. Like I'm trying to be like an insider, like a reporter. So I was like, well, if I want to look legit, like I'm probably going to want to have to show my face. So I just, one day I was like, hey mom, I'm going to put on the Celtics jersey. Like, can you take a picture of me? Like in the backyard, like looking professional. And she's like, yeah. So it took like 5 minutes. She had a couple of good photos and I got one. And I was like, you know what? It's time for them to know what I look like.
There you go.
That's the story.
Hey, thanks, mom.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we got like it took a couple tries, but we got one we could work with.
There you go. I did a similar thing actually on my my personal account. I had the Edelman catch from the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah. When I first followed you, that was your picture.
Yeah. And so I just this weekend, actually, the Father's Day weekend, I was at Gillette for like a Father's Day thing or whatever, and you got to take a picture, you know, that you got to go in the press room and take a picture at the podium. So I took a picture at the podium with my water bottle that had the WTP logo on it. So I got the WTP logo. I'm standing at the podium with the Patriots logo underneath and like the, you know, thing on the back, like I'm answering questions or whatever. And I'm like, well, I mean, that's perfect. So I just, that's my,
exactly. I mean, it gets to a point where like, if you're like, you're working for a company like WTP or like your brand grows so much, kind of get, it gets to a point where you have to show your face kind of just to show that you're a real person and stuff like that. And you're just a normal person. That's kind of how I looked at it.
I like it. I like it. I'm glad that face is out there. Even if it's not, even if it's not pretty, I'm glad it's out
there. Yeah. You know what, man? People know who I am. That's all I care about. It's cool. It's really cool. I love interacting with people. That's the thing. At least people know, like, they're talking to like one person and not a robot.
Well, right. Something. And that's what's fun about it too. And I make a point to say this at the end of every show, and I'll say it at the end of this show as well. I mean, we're just here to talk sports. Like, honestly, like, you know, all of us got other jobs. Well, maybe not. You're a student still. But, like, you know, I got kids. I got a job. Like, I just want to talk sports. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm here to do. And so it's like, you know, we want people to interact and you know, start up conversations and ask questions. And, hey, we want to see this, or you should write about this, or you should, you know, podcast about this, or whatever it might be. You know, that's what we want. That's what we're here for. So, you know, the interaction is a good point. Like, that's what we're just – that's what we're trying to do, because we just want to talk sports. So.
Yeah, no, exactly. Sometimes on my account, I just tweet something just to get people going, honestly. Like, I just think, like, all right, let's – like, something with Kawhi Leonard. I'm like, all right, let me see what I can say that will stir up some Celtics fans.
Spark a conversation, and then you can have a
– Yeah, you know, like, and then I like to hear other people's opinions, too, because it's like – I mean, it's good to have your own opinion. You can stick by your opinion, but I think it's also important, especially in sports arguments, to be very open-minded and just like, I mean, like – some people you can argue with, you know, they don't have a clue. Like, they don't have a clue what they're talking about. Like, most LeBron fans, I think, no offense to them. But, but you know, it's like, it's I like having good conversations with smart, high IQ basketball fans on Twitter. Those who I like talking. Some people just, like, get in my mentions and just, like, come at me. And I'm just like, whoa, all right. Let's take a step back. Like, I'm just 20. Like, come on, I'm just talking about the Celtics. Like,
And, you know, the thing is, too, is that I think some of the best conversations I've had on Twitter are with people that aren't fans of the Celtics or aren't fans of the Patriots, because you can see things from different perspectives. There's no need to kind of
– I agree. I very much agree with that. I've had conversations with I think I had a conversation with a Pistons fan once. And we were just talking about the Celtics and hearing like, the – what other fan bases think of the Celtics, like hearing that stuff is very interesting to me, because it's like we're from that Boston area. So like we all hear the same thing. So it's like hearing people from someone from Detroit tell me what they think of Boston. And especially if it's a good thing, like, I don't know, that's kind of cool.
No, it is. Yeah, definitely. So, all right. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. Make sure everyone's following at Dante on Deck, and maybe we'll have any show sometime, you know, once the season starts too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy you got to do this again after the last time.
So. Yeah, I agree. Finally getting it done. Just make sure I'll make sure I save everything before anything happens. So, all right, man. I'll talk to you.
All right, thank you, man.
All right, bye. All right, big thanks to Dante for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. As I said, if you're not following on Twitter, I don't know what you're doing with your life. At Dante on Deck, make sure you do that. I want to get right into 3-Minute Drill with you. And today on the 3-Minute Drill, we're going to be talking about Tom Brady. Who else will we talk about in the 3-Minute Drill? Seriously. All right, here we go. All right, so I've come to a realization about Brady. I think Brady is just trolling everyone. I don't understand how there could be another possibility beyond him just trolling everybody. And realistically, for me at least, I look at it and say, I hope that's the case, because otherwise, I don't know what the hell is going on. And at the end of the Tom for Time episode, episode 6, where he's like, clearly questioning what's going on in his future. And I think, you know, I think you could spin zone that and say, well, he's saying you need to know the answers to why we do this, right? And so he's not necessarily saying, why do we do this? He's saying you need to know the answers to that to keep going. He knows the answers, presumably, right, is what you could spin that to. Well, he knows the answers, but he's saying you do so much work, you really need to know what those answers are. but it didn't sound like that. The body language didn't look like that. I get he had just lost his boy. I understand that. But even still, it didn't look promising. And then he meets with Oprah, and he tells Oprah how, you know, well, the end is sooner rather than later. The end is coming sooner rather than later. So you look at that, and you just say, huh, does that mean it's coming next year? Does that mean it's coming in 3 years? Does that mean it's coming in 5 years? We don't know what that means. Clearly, he's closer to the end of his career than he is to the beginning. That's obvious. But when he says the end is coming sooner rather than later, does that mean he's not playing through 45? We don't know what that means. So we're left, you know, we're left to kind of take that up to interpretation. And then ESPN puts that picture on Instagram with him, with that quote from him with Oprah. And then he posts on there in Spanish, 45, with, you know, the monkeys, the see no evil, hear no evil, do no, speak no evil. And you just look at that and you're like, what are you doing, dude? You know, like, you get to a point where, is he just trolling everyone now? Well, he's just making a mockery of this, basically. And so, I don't know what the situation is. I don't know if he's upset at the Patriots. I don't know. I have no idea why he's doing what he's doing. But he is, right? And so, there's something going on. And he hasn't been doing this, you know, forever. And I'm not really sure what's going on. And again, I come back to the point, and I keep bringing it back, and I'll continue to bring it back because I think it's legitimate. If Jimmy G were here, none of this would be happening. None of it. There's no chance that any of that would be happening. If we had drafted a quarterback in the first round, there's no chance that any of this would be happening because he would not allow that quarterback to get the reps, to take reps away from him. There's no chance that he would allow that. And so that's one of the things that you have to keep in mind when you look at this is that it's not just about Brady. It's also about the way the Patriots have approached it as well. He's clearly their guy. They've put as much time and effort into him, obviously, as they can. They've given him as much opportunity as they can. But it's like, what is he doing to repay you? So that's the main thing that I'm focused on. What is he doing now that he has all the power and all the control? And realistically, when you look... All right, Bruno, I got it. I got a new ringtone there. You like that? Now you look at it and you just say, all right, you know, what are we doing? What is Brady doing now that he has the number one job and there's no one behind him pushing him? Remember, they drafted Garoppolo in 2014, okay? 2013 was kind of a little bit of a down year for Brady. Not really a down year, but a little bit of a down year for Brady. And then you get 2014 where it looked like, is Brady done at the beginning of the season? And then all of a sudden, he's playing his best football these last 4 years. It's not a coincidence that all of a sudden he got better once Jimmy G was here. I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think it's really a hot take to say that was a coincidence. And now, all of a sudden, we have some issues going on, and we don't know how exactly they're going to be resolved. So that's really going to be the question, is what happens moving forward. Anyways, let's get into this weekend's sports history. As always, I'm going to go in chronological order. I'm going to start with June 20th, 1967. Muhammad Ali is convicted of refusing induction into the armed services. Essentially, they said, you know, they drafted him to go to Vietnam, and he said, no, I'm not fighting them, I'm not doing it. So he actually ended up not serving any jail time. The conviction was eventually overturned by the Supreme Court, but he did lose all of his titles. He lost a ton of sponsorship. He lost a ton. He lost basically his livelihood is what he lost before that. And so that's obviously significant. It's something that shouldn't be overlooked. But I will say, in an age where people are all talk, we could really learn something from Ali, because he was the greatest trash talker of all time. But he stood firm in the face of the American government, and he was proven correct. And that's legit. And he didn't do it. He didn't do it in a violent way. He did a peaceful protest, and he said, "Look, this is not my fight. I'm not fighting these guys. They've done nothing to me, and you know my religion says not to kill someone, and so I'm not going to do it." And you know it's that simple. And I think he stood up for what he believed in, and he was willing to go to jail for it. And obviously, he ended up not with the appeals and everything else. And the Supreme Court obviously eventually ruled in favor of him, essentially saying he was a conscientious objector and so on and so forth. I'm not getting into the whole thing, but the idea is that he stood up to the government. They said, we're taking everything away from you. We're going to take your belts away from you. We're going to take your sponsorships away from you. And he said, I don't care. I'm not contradicting who I am for you. Because realistically, he gets drafted into the Army, and what's he going to do? He's going to box for the Army. He's not going to fight. He's never going to see the front line. He's never going to go anywhere near the front line. But it didn't matter. It was just the simple fact that he refused to do that because it was against his religion, and he didn't feel, he said, you know, he didn't believe in it. And because of that, he was willing to stand up against the government, and he won. And I think that, you know, it's really something for us to take note of and, you know, aspire to do something as strong as he did. So, anyways, June 17th, 1994 was OJ's white Bronco chase. And again, this one here is a little bit different. They did actually 30 for 30 on this one. It was OJ's white Bronco chase, but there was like a million things going on. So Arnold Palmer was playing his final round at the U.S. Open. It was the commencement of the World Cup, which was hosted in the U.S. for the first time ever. The Rangers had their Stanley Cup parade in New York City. It was Game 5 of the NBA Finals, Rockets against Knicks. And Ken Griffey homered that night to tie Babe Ruth as the only other player to hit 30 home runs before June 30th. It was the 65th game of the season. He had 30 flipping home runs. Of course, that year was the player strike. It ended in August. Griffey had 40 home runs in August. Who knows if he would have caught the Babe or not. He would have had to have a ridiculous I think it was like August 11th is the date they went out. So he would have had to have a tear in August and September. But he probably could have done it, or at least would have had a shot at it, you know, and they kind of got screwed there. So I believe the Expos that year actually were really good, and they obviously, you know, they got screwed because the season ended. But that's neither here nor there. But that was June 17th, 1994. And then June 19th, 2016, Kyrie hits the game-winning three over Steph Curry to win the finals after being down 3-1. That shot's unbelievable, the step-back three. Curry actually closed on him pretty well. He just drilled it. They were down 3-1. LeBron played out of his mind. He averaged almost a triple-double for the season, for the series, like almost 30 points, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists. He was a monster. And he also had that chase down block against Iguodala with about a minute 30 left to go in the game that kind of kept them in the game and swung momentum over to the Cavs. Really unbelievable. Obviously, that Game 7 was played in Golden State. And, of course, that was the team that broke the record, you know, with most wins and blah, blah, blah. And then, obviously, that offseason, you know, they pick up Durant and the rest is history. But that was unreal. Kyrie went off those last three games. He averaged 30 points a game, including 41 in Game 5. He was a monster those last three games and really was the catalyst to them winning the series, in my opinion, was the catalyst to them winning the series. I think he had 23 in Game 6 and 26 in Game 7. And so, again, I mean, not LeBron numbers, but he needed that other guy to step up and do huge things, which, of course, he did. Hit in the game-winning three. And, of course, you know, the LeBron haters are like, you know, wow, it's just another championship that was won by, you know, one forum between the Ray Allen three-pointer in the Heat series and then, you know, that shot, obviously. But, I mean, look, LeBron, you look at the numbers. I mean, the numbers don't lie, man. You look at the numbers, and LeBron had a ridiculous series and also had that block, which was just unreal. So, anyways, that's all I got for the show tonight. Again, I want to say a big thank you to Dante for coming on. Again, follow him on Twitter, @DanteOnDeck. I want to give a quick shout-out to Marcus and the Boxers podcast. Make sure you check out him and Wesley. They do a different movie review every Monday. So Monday mornings, him and Wesley, the Boxers podcast, do a different movie. They're great. Honor the Triforce as well, Mac and Goo, and the #Dork podcast. Give them a listen if you haven't listened to them as well. Also want to thank MDOT and Core for the outro song. MDOT is on Instagram and Twitter @MDOTBoston. Core is @KORE of EMS. So check them out. MDOT's got a lot of big things going on. Again, you know, he's my cousin, underground rapper in Boston. He's done songs with Method Man, opened up for, you know, some really big names, including Wiz Khalifa. So, you know, kind of an up-and-coming guy. We're hoping the best for him, but you know, it's pretty cool that he made a song just for us. So I'm pretty pumped about that. As for me, you can follow the show @WeekendWarPod on Twitter. No E's. WKNDWARPOD. My personal account is WTPLane @WTPLane. You're welcome to follow me there as well. Reach out. You know, you got a question, shoot me an email. It's just weekendwarpod@gmail.com. It's the same exact thing as Twitter handle, @gmail.com. Send me an email. My DMs are open. Send me a DM. Just tweet at me. I don't care. Okay? I just want to talk sports. That's what I'm here to do. You know, we all, you know, not all of us, but like a lot of us have kids and we got lives and we got other jobs and we just love sports. We love to talk sports. You got a question, you want to talk about something, shoot me a DM, shoot me an email, you know, tweet at me, like, you know, just let's talk sports. It's fun. You know, that's what we're here for. So, again, thank you very much. And if you can, you know, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast as well. So I really appreciate that. And I do some writing on WTPsports.com, so you can check out that stuff. The three-minute drill that I talked about, what I talked about today about, you know, Brady kind of trolling us, I did write a quick article about that as well. So, you know, we got that going on. I appreciate everything you guys do. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you next week.
Listen and rock to what it is that you want. Warriors, you'll need to tune in. This is show.